Page 133. Since we want to conclude that the moments of t star n converge as n goes to infinity to the moments of standard normal, and we want to use that the moments of s star n converge to the moments of standard normal, it's a good idea to compare the kth moment of s star n and the kth moment of t star n and show that they are close. So we will state a lemma about relating the moments of Sn and Tn, namely, the lemma states that the kth moment of Sn and the kth moment of Tn, the difference of these kth moments, the absolute value of the difference, is less than or equal than 1 over n times alpha n to the power k. So now we are comparing the moments of Sn and Tn and not the moments of S star n and T star n that will come later. And this is going to be an ingenious little proof, which is kind of the heart. So this is really the heart of the proof of Erdős-Katz theorem. So first let me introduce some notation. So let me denote by capital N the number of primes which are less than or equal than 1, or as I denote it in equation capital B, this is the sum of 1s over the index set where P is a prime number less than or equal than alpha n, and of course n is less than or equal than alpha n, obviously. Then let me begin with some notation. So let me try to explain what's on the left-hand side and the right-hand side of equation indexed by capital D. So on the left-hand side, you just have variables, a polynomial with capital N variables, and it's x1 plus dot 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 xn raised to the kth power. And what you see on the right-hand side of equation D is the same polynomial, the same multivariate polynomial, but we expand. So somehow it's a long and complicated sum. But if you look at the end on the right hand side, you see the monomials. So there is a polynomial, and we want to write it as a sum of monomials. So we are going to sum L from 1 to n, and this L is going to denote the number of different variables of that appear in one term. So if L is equal to 1, then actually only one variable appears, and if L is equal to capital N, then somehow all of the variables have to appear. So I'm summing as L goes from 1 to capital N, then I'm summing over all possible exponents, and there is going to be L of them, and they have to sum up to K, because of course this polynomial on the left hand side is homogeneous, so every monomial has to, the sum of the exponents in the monomials also have to be equal to K. Right? Okay. And then I still have to sum over, so this sum where the index of the sum, there is 1 less than or equal than m1, strictly less than m2, strictly less than ml, strictly less than n. So here I'm choosing actually that those L indices that are going to appear. So I already decided at the beginning of the sum that that only L variables are going to appear, but now I'm going to choose which are those L variables that appear, and I decided that they are M1, M2, ML in increasing order. And then, so now that I fixed which variables appear, and I fixed, and those are M1 and so on, ML, and I also fixed the exponent, so I take M1 to the k power K1, XML to the power KL, I have to, there is a combinatorial factor, so this CLK1 dot 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 KL, this is the number of times where such this monomial appears if you expand the thing that's on the left hand side of equation capital D. So this is a non-negative integer number, and the exact value of this combinatorial term is not really important for us. It's there, and we are going to work with this sum, which is on the right-hand side of equation capital D, certainly this takes a little bit of time to think that really such an equality holds, but trust me that this is true, and let's move on. So therefore, now I'm interested in the expected value of Sn to the power k, but Sn is the sum of indicators. So if you use the linearity of expectation, then, and if you plug in the place of the variables in our multivariate polynomial, then you obtain that the kth moment of Sn is equal to, and now I'm explaining equation indexed by capital E, a similar sum where there's an L, there are these K's, there are these M's, there is this combinatorial constant, and then you have to take the expected value of the monomial when you plug in place of the variables, you plug in your indicator random variables. And by the way, what's on the right-hand side of equation capital E is a bit confusing. So now here I'm denoting by XMI, it denotes the Bernoulli random variable, which corresponds to the prime number, which has index MI in the list of all prime numbers. But I didn't want to like use triple indices here, so this notation is a bit confusing, but I hope it's not going to confuse you very much. This is the last time I'm using this notation, so we will be back to our usual notation in the next calculation. So in any case, we have to focus on how to calculate the expectation of such a product of such indicators in our idealized world and in our real world. So let's see. So let's choose some distinct prime numbers and in increasing order, P1, P2, and so on, PL. And of course, these prime numbers have to be less than or equal than alpha n, if they appear if they appear as indices of monomials, if we expand S, the kth moment of Sn. Now I'm trying to explain what's on the left-hand side of equation capital F. So we are back to the notation that we introduced a couple of pages ago, on page 131. So now, really, these indicators are indexed by prime numbers. But my point is that they are indicators, and it doesn't really matter. So if you square an indicator, it stays the same, because the square of 0 is 0, and the square of 1 is 1. So really, since we are talking about the product of indicators, it doesn't really matter what is the exact power, K1 and KL, this equation capital F is going to hold. So we just have to look at the expected value of the product of these indicators. And of course, Since in our idealized world, these indicators are independent, therefore the expected value of their product is equal to the product of their expectations, and that's 1 over P1 multiplied with 1 over P2 and so on, 1 over PL, therefore equation indexed by capital G holds. But that was the idealized world. Let's see what happens with the indicators in the real world. So remember that this indicators Y and P is the indicator of the event that the prime number P divides my uniform random variable UN. So I also have to take the expected value of such a monomial that's on the left-hand side of equation indexed by capital H. And again, by the same reason as before, I can really forget about the exponents since I'm taking the powers of indicators. So this this equality indexed by capital H holds. Now here's the deal. The equality indexed by capital I is the number theoretic idea of this proof. Look, there is a product of indicators, and the product of indicators of events is the indicator of the intersection of these events. And the intersection of the events is that my random variable UN, so the intersection of these events is that P1, P2, and so on, PL, they all divide this uniform random variable UN. But of course, since these are prime numbers, they all divide the number UN if and only if their product divides UN. So the product P1 times P2 times PL divides, the probability that this product divides my random variable UN is exactly equal to what you see on the right hand side of equation indexed by capital I, because N divided by this product lower integer part is just the numbers between 1 and capital N, which are a multiple of this P1 times PL, and then you have to divide by N because you are just taking the ratio of the favorable cases, and you have to divide by all cases since we are looking at a uniformly distributed random variable. So that's why equation capital I holds. Good. So we want to compare the kth moment of Sn and the kth moment of Tn. You know, that's what this lemma is about. So let's see. If we take their difference, then we have, first observe that the expected value of the kth moment of Sn is, sorry, let's, so let's observe that the kth moment of Sn is greater than equal than the kth moment of Tn. Why? Because we have to use this same sum, as in equation capital E, but in the case of Tn, we are summing smaller things. So you just have to compare what's on the right-hand side of G and what's on the right-hand side of I to conclude that this inequality stated in equation capital J holds. But also, the difference of two sums is the sum of the differences, and this inequality indexed by capital K holds because if you take the difference of these two things that's on the right-hand side of G and the right-hand side of I, you observe that they are all less than or equal than 1 over N. That's the deal. Because the difference between a number and its integer part is at most 1, and the right-hand side of equation capital G can be, well, you can divide that by n and multiply that by n, and then it's easy to compare the right-hand side of G and I. Therefore, the difference is at most 1 over n. Hooray! And that is now I explained why this inequality capital K holds. And now the rest is easy. There is this multiplier 1 over n that we are very happy about, but we can take it outside of the sum. And what we are summing is very easily, now I'm explaining equation capital L, this is just equal to 1 over n times just the sum of identically 1s raised to the kth power. You can see that this equation capital L holds by if you plug x1 equals 1, x capital N equals 1 into this equation indexed by capital D above. So that's just kind of a trivial case of that equality, but that's a nice thing because now we are left with 1 over n times capital N to the power k, but remember from the top of the page that capital N is less than alpha n, and we are done. I'm finished with the explaining inequality indexed by capital M, and if you compare beginning to the end, then you see that the statement of the lemma holds.